I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts, chapter 7 for the message today. I want to encourage you to be back tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm going to be speaking tonight on the disciples in the boat when the storm came up. And they were rowing like crazy trying to get to shore. Could not make it. And all of a sudden the Lord Jesus appeared. Peter looked over and said, "Lord, bid me come." And the Lord said, "Come on." Peter stepped out of the boat, started walking on the water. Did you hear that? He started walking on the water, but he started to sink. And when he started to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached out and grabbed a hold of him, and he was walking on the water again. And I want to speak to you tonight almost sinking. I hope you'll be back tonight. And there's some good little thoughts there. And I hope you'll be back for the message tonight. But this morning, I want to begin reading, please, in verse 30. Verse 30. Now, we're jumping right into the middle of Stephen's defense. The Sanhedrin has arrested him, and they are questioning him as to why he's preaching about this Jesus of Nazareth. And Stephen starts to give the history. And he's basically proving the Lord Jesus and proving his validity and that he was who he said he was. And that he is preaching about him because he's true. He's real. He's God. And in the midst of the message, of course, you know how it ends. They take him and they stoned him. And that's how it ends. But I want you to look, please, at verse 30. And Stephen is giving the history of the Jews and how the Lord worked and how he brought eventually the Lord Jesus into the picture. And in verse 30, he's talking about Moses, and it says in the 30th verse, "And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai," this is Mount Sinai, "an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush." So this is talking about how Moses saw the burning bush. And verse 31 says that when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. I guess so. "And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying," now listen carefully, here's my text, "I am the God of thy fathers." Now notice that. That's generic. That's inclusive of all of his fathers. "I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham." Now he's narrowing it down. "The God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. The word "durst," you and I would understand that word to mean "and dared not to look." He couldn't look upon God who was speaking to him out of the burning bush. He bowed his head and stood humbled before the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice verse 32 is my text, and I want to speak to you this morning on the God of our fathers. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. And Lord, as we open its pages now and look at a few thoughts this morning from this verse, I pray that you will bless in a mighty way. Lord, give us a better understanding of the God that we serve. Lord, may we have a receptive heart this morning to the things of the Lord. And Father, I pray that you have liberty to speak to every heart. Bless us and encourage us, Lord, in these troublesome days in which we live. May our minds and hearts, Lord, not be stayed upon the problems that are around us and the problems that this world is facing. And Lord, all the misery and war and conflict. But Lord, may our hearts be stayed upon Jehovah. And may our hearts be truly blessed as we think of Him. And Lord, I pray that you'll have liberty to speak to every heart. And Lord, focus our attention upon you this morning. will give you praise and glory for what's accomplished as you bless. In Jesus' name, and amen. There is no knowledge attainable by man that is as vital as the knowledge of God. The world today is ever learning, but is never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And folks, the reason is because we have abandoned the Bible. Truth is only found in God. God is truth. And to know God, that's the most important thing, the most important truth that a person can know. And let me remind you, the Lord Jesus said of this subject that the truth will set you free. Oh, how there's only freedom can only be found in the truth and in knowing God. Everybody wants today to know principles of business. Everybody wants to know economic principles. Everybody today wants to know theories of origin and plans and schemes that will help man succeed while here on earth. And very few have a heart to learn of God, which is a knowledge that will not only help man now here, but is a knowledge that will help man in the days when he has to face eternity. Folks, we need to know God. And you know, if we would just stop and think about the fact that everything that is, I mean everything that is, was created by the handiwork of God. Everything that is was created by God. If we would just stop and think of the fact that we depend upon God for every breath and every beat of our heart. If we would just stop and think about the fact that time is but an island that is surrounded by an ocean of eternity. And if we would just stop and realize that God is and understand that point, I think that we would feel pressured to want to learn and to know God. Folks, there is no higher knowledge than the knowledge of God. And I'm saying that far more important than attaining wealth, and far more important than acquiring fame, and far more important than securing sound investments, far more important than anything else on earth is knowing the God we serve. Do you know the God of heaven? I want to speak to you this morning on the importance of knowing God. I want to show you from this 32nd verse a few little principles. I want to just pull a few little principles out of this statement that is made in the 32nd verse and hopefully be able to shine a little light upon our God, to give you a little bit of insight as to the character and to the nature and to the person of God. This little verse, when fully considered, will hopefully draw back the curtain and give each and every one of us a brief little glimpse of God sitting upon His glorious throne and give us a little bit of insight as to what God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. I sat down this week and I was reading this chapter and I came to the statement that is made in verse 32. And when I read where Stephen said that God said to Moses, "I am the God of thy fathers," that really didn't strike me. You read that often in the Bible where God made reference to the fact that He was the God of the fathers. But then I read the next couple of statements. And you'll notice it says, he said, "I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham." That's a specific individual. And then he went on to say, "the God and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." And when I read that he got so specific and so precise, I just sat and thought and read and prayed and meditated and considered what God was saying here to Moses in this verse. And three little things came to my mind. I wrote down these three things, laid it on the desk, walked away from it, and just thought about it for a little while, and then came back and put the sermon together around these three thoughts. Let me give them to you, please. As I thought about it, I got a little threefold glimpse of God, if you will. The first thing that I want to point out, the first thing that just was glaring to me is that Moses is teaching us that God is the God of separate individuals. God is the God of the individual. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. We live on a planet that has over 6 billion people occupying its land masses and islands. 6 billion people. Would you let that number sink into your mind? No matter where you go, I thought about this, no matter where you go on this planet, there is evidence of about 4,000 years of man being around. I've thought about every place that I've gone overseas, every place that I've gone, they want to take you and show you past civilizations. So not only are there 6 billion people on the planet right now, but I want you to understand that from the beginning, there has been people on this planet. Their ruins are clearly seen. I've been to Athens, Greece, and to Corinth, and some of the places over in the Grecian civilization. And they will take you and show you, and you have evidence of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who live there. I've been down to the Nile River in the ancient city of Cairo, and I have gone to the ruins of the pyramids and of the Sphinx and of the peoples that lived along the Nile River, and you realize that there are have been multitudes of people that lived in that fertile area, and they thrived in that area, and they died in that area, and yet the civilization just continues to build one upon the other. Now, that goes back just 4,000 years. The Bible tells us that there was a whole world, a whole civilization before the flood of Noah, a group of people that lived from Adam to Noah. And we don't have any record of their being here on the earth because it was all destroyed during the flood. But folks, I want you to realize that since the flood, there have been an innumerable horde of people who have lived upon this earth. The sheer numbers of that bunch of people that have lived since from Noah on, it just boggles the mind to consider. It staggers the imagination. I mean, just think of the millions of people that have lived upon this planet. Think of the ancient civilizations of the Assyrians and the ancient civilization of Babylon. Think of the Chinese people and who can take their history back some 3,800 years. I mean, it's just amazing when you stop and think about the people that have lived and that are now living on this planet. To many people, the world seems but a shadowy mass of humanity with individuality lost. But think about it, folks. Think about it. With all the people on this planet, you do realize that in our country today, you're not really known by a name except for your friends. Your friends know you as a name. But I want you to understand, the government does not know you by name. The government knows you by a number. You got to realize that they ask for your social security number or your birth date everywhere you go. You are known by a number. If you don't think that's true, go overseas. Go overseas. And you cannot get overseas without a passport. And they don't care they don't look at your name. They don't care about that. You are logged in by a number. You are known by a number. But folks, over against that boundless number of humanity, over against that boundless number of people who have been on the planet and who are today on the planet, above all the rocking and surging of humanity, there comes a voice that rings out from the eternal throne that says to each and every one of us, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The point is, folks, God is the God of the individual. God is the God of the individual. When you and I look back through history, and when we look all around this huge world that is so filled with people today, we hear a collective murmuring, but God hears the separate beat of every heart. God is the God of the individual. And make no mistake about it, dear friend, every individual is going to have to give an account of himself to God. There is coming a day of reckoning for every single man, and God will have the final say. I don't know if somehow or another in the back of people's minds today that they're going to take their chances with God. My friend, that is a mistake. God is not going to just sweep all of humanity and lump them all together. No, sir. God, in His omnipotence and in His omniscience, is somehow beyond my capability to understand. But God is somehow going to deal with each and every individual. I don't understand how God is going to be able to stand me in front of the judgment seat of Christ, and how God is going to be able to deal with me as an individual. But I know that He is. He's the God of the individual. You see, God is not hidden from the individual what He requires. God has given us a book, and His book is truth. And God does not hide from man what He expects from man. Let me give you something to consider, dear friend. Don't you think it's interesting that every culture, every society, every people have a concept of God? That's amazing to me. I mean, that to me is just beyond my comprehension. Oh, their concept of God may be way off from the biblical path, but I do remind you, Paul said that for when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. But nonetheless, there is still a concept of deity. There is still a concept of a being higher than us that man needs to worship. Now, let me illustrate. You would not think. I was personally, when I discovered this, I said, well, of course. But I never thought about it. But the Chinese civilization is said to be the oldest civilization, contiguous civilization on the planet. And a couple of months ago, when I was in China, we went to Beijing, and we went to the place where the emperors lived, and where the emperors ruled that land, and we went to a place back that was uncovered. It was being renovated, and we didn't get to actually see it because it was being renovated. But we went to the place where 3,800 years ago. Are you listening? 3,800 years ago. The emperor of China, representing the people as their priest, took a sacrifice and walked out of his home and walked across what is today Tiananmen Square, and walked across that place with the hordes of people behind him, and took a sacrifice and went to an altar of stones, and there on that altar offered that sacrifice on behalf of the sins of the people to Shanti, to God. Where did he learn that? Where did he know to do that? How did he know to take a blood offering and offer that as a sacrifice to God? How did he know that? I'll tell you how we knew it. Because Noah came off of that ark and he told his son, and his son told his son, and his son told his son, until eventually mankind was again spread across the planet, and through word of mouth, God and what God expected was understood. But when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and that's the reason why today we have to take the gospel to China, because they have forgotten who they worshiped. But folks, please understand that man is without excuse. And please understand and realize that God is the God of the individual. My friend, do you realize that God cares about you? Has that dawned upon you? I mean, has it occurred to you that God, the God of heaven, the God of the universe, who is big enough and strong enough and powerful enough to control a whole universe, that God cares about you. He is not only the God of our fathers, He is the God of the individual, of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. The question is He your God? Would you let Him be your God? He wants to be. He wants to be. And we are without excuse. God wants to be your God. Folks, think about it. Jesus came to die for the world, but was constantly dealing with the individual. I mean, if we've learned anything in our study on Wednesday night, we have learned that Jesus was concerned with every individual. Every individual, when He was here living for mankind, He spoke His deepest thoughts when He only had one man in His audience. Think about it. When He was hanging on the cross, dying for mankind, His heart was filled with rejoicing when one thief cried out in belief and in faith. For one coin, the woman swept the house. For one sheep, the shepherd went searching, leaving the 99. Over one son and a sorry prodigal at that, the father had a broken heart. Folks, I'm saying that God, it's all the way through the Bible, God is concerned with the individual. And that brings it down to where we are today. I'm saying that God wants to be your God. He wants to be my God. Yes, He is the eternal God of the universe, the eternal God of heaven. But He wants to be the God of the individual. He wants to be your God. You're as much the object of His love as any angel or any preacher or any child in this room. God wants to be the God of the individual. There's a second point I want you to see. There's a second thing that jumped out of this verse at me. First of all, God is the God of separate individuals. But second, God is the God of differing personalities. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. And He's the God of Jacob. Hey folks, listen, I know these guys were related. They're grandfather, son, and grandson. I understand that. But I want you to know that these three are as different as day is from night. They're not anything alike. You got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three guys related, but the truth is they're all as different as they can be. But yet God is the God of each one, and not more of one than of the other. Now think about these three and their lives and their personality. Let's just do a brief overview. First, there's Abraham, the man who was known as the friend of God. Wow, that'd be some title to carry, wouldn't it? The friend of God. The man who received the promise that all the world would be blessed in his seed, and who believed that promise by faith. But you know, he never doubted God. He never doubted. He never doubted that God was able to fulfill that promise that He had made to Abraham. He obeyed God, and it's interesting. God said, get up, get out. He did. He went down into the land of Canaan, walked from the north to the south, the east to the west, and never pitched his tent, but what he built an altar right outside its door so he could worship God. The man who by faith went out not knowing where he went. The man that never lost sight of the promise of God. Second, you got Isaac. Bible here says, verse 32 says, I am the God of Abraham, but secondly, I'm the God of Isaac. You have Isaac. Isaac is a unique individual. A man who was not born to greatness, but had it thrust upon him. A quiet man. not anything like his father, not intense like Abraham was, not the hero type that Abraham was. Isaac hated strife, hated confrontation, and was always looking for peace, always looking for a way out. I mean, he was a peaceful man, always looking for the tranquil, always looking for the kind, always looking for the good, and whatever came along, he just sort of took it and took a deep breath and dealt with it, and such was the personality of Isaac. And then we have Jacob. Totally different from Abraham. Totally different from Isaac. Man, this guy, he was one of a kind. A man who manipulated, had tremendous power of personality, was in every sense a strong individual. He had a tremendous genius for making money, making friends, and even making enemies. But without ever losing sight of his relationship with God. And so we have, number one, the God of Abraham. Number two, the God of Isaac. Number three, the God of Jacob. Can you see the glorious compass of this statement? Each man as different as the East is from the West, and yet each man found his rest in God. Thus I learned that the God of divine revelation has a heart that is bigger than our widest difference and has room in His love and in His service too for men who are as different from each other as day is from night. Folks, let me tell you something. God has room for all of us regardless of who we are. In this room today, there different levels of intellect, different understandings, different backgrounds. But you know what? God is able to take any of us and use us for His honor and His glory. Man, who would have ever figured that God could take a hillbilly raised down in Campbell's Creek, West Virginia? I mean, listen, when I go down to West Virginia and preach, sometimes people will come, they just can't believe it. They just can't believe it. They knew me when I was a paper boy. They knew me when I played Little League Baseball. They knew me when I was in junior high school. And I've had people come to church and say, "Do you remember me?" I say, "Well, no, I'm sorry, I don't." "Well, you used to deliver my paper." And I saw this in the paper and I just couldn't believe it. I mean, goodness, who'd have thunk it? Dr. Norris Belcher. Wow. I mean, folks, let me tell you something. It was but by the grace of God that I ever got out of elementary school, if you want to know the truth of the matter. But you see, God is the God of the individual. And He takes us where we are. And when we submit and surrender, I mean, somebody as impetuous as Abraham could be used of God. Somebody as tranquil and peaceful as Isaac could be used from God. Somebody who was a sneaky rascal like Jacob could be used of God. And if God can use them, God can use us. If God can use Dr. Grammer, God can use me. If God can use Alan, He can use me. If God can use John, He can use me. If He can use Ron Reed, He can use me. And if He can use us, He can use you. He's the God of different personalities. Man, God just says, come. Just come. I made you like I made you. And I had a reason for making you like I made you. There is a reason that I made you like you are. Because I have something specific I want you to do. What's the sad part is, many of us miss what God wants us to do. Oh, that we would just surrender. I was recently, this last week, I was sitting down at the house watching Hannity and Combs. And when Combs comes on and starts spewing his social liberalism, I want to beat somebody up. I don't know about you. I want to whoop somebody. I mean, I can't watch that, you know. I know they're fair and balanced, but I don't want fair and balanced. I want conservative. And when they start putting, when Combs is on there, I want to scream. I want to just go up and reach inside the TV and grab a hose and say, "What's wrong with you? Are you nuts that you lay on one side and all your brains rolled out your head? What's wrong with you?" I'm just amazed that people have such liberal understanding of things. So anyway, I'm sitting there watching, and he starts talking. And you know, Sean always meant, Sean always just, you know, he tears them up. I can watch him because I'm there. Yeah, go get him. But then they put Alan on there. And I'm sure Alan's a nice guy, but oh my goodness. And he starts, and I can't handle it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I cannot watch it when he's talking. I just can't do it. I can't sleep that night. I want to write letters. I want to go march. I want to go to war. I mean, yeah, I can't watch it. So I flip the channel. Well, in anger, I flipped it forward about 7-8 channels. Just boom, get that off of there. You know, that type of thing. Well, I end up on a channel that is talking about God. It was the Inspiration Channel or something. That has another whole set of issues for me. But nonetheless, that's where I ended up. And so I'm listening to this guy, and he's showing pictures of you know, Luther and Calvin and you know, these old churches, you know, and all that. I really don't know what they were talking about. But anyway, here's the point. The fella kept saying over and over and over, the God of the Reformation. And then he would say, the God of Calvinism. Or he would say, the God of Martin Luther. And then he would say, and he kept saying it over and over, the God of, the God of. And I'm sitting, so I get all worked up again. I start hollering at that guy on TV. I know they can't hear me, but I said, sir, can I remind you, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus. There is not the God of Catholicism or the God of this or the God of... There's one God. Jehovah is His name. And that's the wonder of it all, folks. That God, the one God, is able to meet the needs of billions of different people on the planet. He is the God of old impetuous Peter, but He's also the God of the loving and considerate and thinking Apostle Paul. He is the God of doubting Thomas, as we call him, the man with the brooding nature, but He's also the God of Paul and his fiery nature. He is the God of Martha's restlessness, but He's also the God of Mary bowing at His feet. And folks, I'm just trying to get you to say, it doesn't make any difference who you are, what you are. None of that matters. It doesn't matter whether you're sanguine or whether you're what's those other big old deep psychological, huh? Melancholy. None of that matters. None of that matters. God wants to be your God. If you just let Him be your God. All right, number three. I said, first of all, God is the God of separate individuals. Number two, God is the God of differing personalities. But then there's a third thing that popped out of here, and here it is. You ready? God is the God of succeeding generations. You know, it's almost like, you remember what Peter said? That in the last days, scoffers would come and they would say, oh, where's the promise of His coming? God's dead. God's fallen asleep. Well, where is He out on a trip somewhere? And you know, we look around today and we might ask that question. We see the world in chaos. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see all the problems that the world is facing, and we see depression everywhere, poverty everywhere, and a lack of faith just running rampant. We see atheism and abortion and the gay rights junk going on. And man, we sit around, we scratch our collective heads and say, where's God? Where's God? Well, folks, listen, notice this. I am the God of thy fathers. Watch. I'm the God of Abraham. That's one generation. And I'm the God of Isaac. There's another generation. And remember, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. That's a matter of fact, there's 3 or 4 generations right there. And I'm the God of Jacob. And that, you know, it just occurred to me that each generation, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all faced God, and they all had God working in their lives. And you know, here we are now, we're sitting here in 2006, and listen, we're liable to think, well now, where's God today? Oh folks, let me tell you something, God is alive and well. You know, the liberals going around trying to prop God up. God doesn't need props up. Everything's doing good. You say, well, Pastor, how could you say that? Why, look at the mess this world is in. Yep, right on schedule. Right on schedule. Well, I mean, look at that war. I mean, Israel, they're attacking Lebanon. Yes, they are, aren't they? Right on schedule. I mean, right on schedule. So I'm worried about Israel. Don't worry about Israel. Don't worry about it. Well, what if all the nations, what if everybody gangs up on it? What if all the Arab nations just decide to convert? Oh, you mean like they did in 48? Oh, you mean like they did in 68? Oh, you mean like they did in 73? Oh, yeah, they did do that, didn't they? Yes. And I want you to know that Israel today is smarter than they were then. They're better equipped today than they were then. And they got a better friend in George Bush than they ever had in John Kennedy. So, everything's all right. You say, but, no, don't but, folks. Don't but. Sheep just follow the Bible. Just trust the Bible. God knows what He's doing. You say, but I'm nervous. Don't be nervous. When you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Folks, let me tell you, God is not asleep somewhere. He is the God of succeeding generations. Just as He blessed Abraham, just as He blessed Isaac, just as He blessed Jacob, just as He blessed David, and you could keep right on going, you could keep right on going until 2006, God is going to bless those that have faith in Him and trust His Word to be true. You can count on it, my friend. God is not finished with us yet. You know, you got all these promises back here that were recorded in this book, and boy, they all came true just exactly as they were written. Wow. I mean, God told us what tribe Jesus would be born from. God told us what city He would be born in. God told us about John the Baptist coming. Even told us what John would say. All foretold. 800 and some years before it happened. And then lo and behold, here came Jesus and everything was fulfilled. And John and Matthew and Luke and Mark made sure that they pointed out to us when they told us the story of Jesus that this was fulfilled as was spoken by the prophet saying. And now we sit here today and we say, where's God? Oh, folks, listen. There's half the promises completed back here. And then half the promises still are yet to be completed. It's all going to start with a trumpet sounding. It's all going to start with the church in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, taken out of here. You say, well, Pastor, don't you get nervous when you start seeing everybody turn against Israel? Oh, no, we get excited when I start seeing everybody turn against Israel. You got to remember, Israel is God's people. Nobody's going to destroy them. Nobody's going to whip them. Nobody is going to defeat them. God is going to step in and fight the battle for them. But here's the good part. We're taken out before that happens. You say, well, man, I'm getting excited now. You should. God is the God of succeeding generations. And man, there's a generation in here that's not going to see death. Pick me. I want to be in that generation. Where do you want to be buried? Nowhere. Nowhere. Let's go up. Amen. So folks, what I'm saying is, pick your chins up. Plural. All of them. Pick them up. Pick your chins up. Man, you're on the winning side. Pick your chins up. You serve the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You've got promise after promise after promise. You don't have a thing to hang your head about. Right. when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Folks, praise God for the Bible. You say, well, aren't you worried about gas prices the way they are? Nah. Just quit running around so much. You won't have so much to complain about. Well, aren't you worried, Pastor, about this and about that? Well, not really. Not really, because I've read the end of the book. I know how it turns out. So let's just keep trusting God. He's a God of the individual. He's a God of different personalities. And thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad you don't have to be a certain way to get saved? But sir, right here it says, if you call, oh, wait a minute, let me ask you, are you a balanced individual? Oh, well, I'm sorry, you can't be saved. Oh, no. He's the God of the universe. The only criteria is that we just meet Him on His conditions. And thank God. Thank God that we have an eternal God. He has been God since He spoke the world into existence, and He will continue to be God, as the Scripture saith, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God, the God of our fathers. So folks, put a big old smile on your face and cheer up. Just cheer up. You serve the living God. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful that we have a Bible. And Lord, what a wonderful book it is. What a wonderful, wonderful revelation the Bible is of the God that we serve and love. And Father, help us now to hear what's been said. Help us to understand what's been said. And Lord, help us to put it in our hearts and hide it in our hearts so that we won't look at all this mess that's going on around us and get discouraged. And Lord, we won't look at the world and wonder what we're going to do next. But Lord, help us just to realize that we serve the God who is the eternal God from everlasting to everlasting. And Lord, give us that faith that we need to just keep on keeping on, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Stir our souls with what we've heard this morning in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a couple of personal questions. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know I'm saved. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that for a fact. My faith is in Christ. Would you lift your hand and testify that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Pastor, I've called upon the Lord. I've asked Him to save me. And I know in whom I have believed. Amen. What a wonderful sight that is. Good, good, good. You may put your hands down. Now our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. My friend, if you could not raise your hand, I want you to know there is a God that wants to be an individual God to you. He loves you. He loves you. He led you here this morning. You may not realize that, but He did. He led you here this morning so you could hear about how wonderful He is. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many of you here will say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I could not raise my hand with everybody, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. I wish you'd pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Ask God to speak to your heart this morning. Anybody like that today? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Remember me. Anybody else? All right, let me ask this. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I am saved, but I'm getting a little weary in well-doing. I want you to pray for me, Pastor. I need to do what you said. I need to keep my eyes on the Lord. Need to know God. Need to get in the Bible. Know God. Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you all over this building this morning? Yes, God bless you. God bless you and you and you and you and you. Yes, many, many hands. God bless you. All right, Lord, you know our hearts this morning, and oh, how I pray that you'll deal with each and every heart in this room. Lord, give us a burden to know you. Lord, give us a burden to get in the book, to read, to study, to meditate upon the Scriptures, and to learn the God that we serve. Father, I pray that every person here will be challenged to live for Jesus. Lord, I pray for this one that said, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Lord, may today be the day of salvation in that soul. Oh, Lord, I pray that in just a moment when we stand and sing, this person will come and let us take the Bible, show them from the Bible how they can know the God of heaven in the pardon and forgiveness of sin through Jesus. Oh, Lord, speak to hearts, I pray. May today be the day of salvation for this dear soul. And Lord, stir the hearts of your people all over the building, young and old alike. Lord, speak to hearts. May Jesus Christ be lifted up, and we'll give you praise for it. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Hymn 304. 304. Let's stand together and sing this song of invitation. As we sing this now, if God's dealt with your heart today, let me invite you to step out and come. If you need to be saved, you come. My staff is here. Just come. Take one of them by the hand. Say, hey, somebody show me how to get saved. Somebody show me how I can know I'm going to heaven. And we'll be glad to do that. If you need to join the church this morning, come. You need to be baptized, come. Whatever it is you need. You just want to come and pray, feel free to do so. And let the Lord work in your heart. As we sing now, you come. As we sing.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's elusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that that face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Sing the next verse, please.
Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
All right, our Father, we thank you now for your blessings on us this morning, and I pray that you will help each one of us to not just hear with our ears, but Lord, to hear with our hearts what we have heard this morning. Lord, may the Word of God lodge in our souls and give us a better understanding of the wonderful God that we serve. Lord, help us now this afternoon to enjoy your day and Lord, bring us back tonight ready to receive what you have for us tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you back tonight.